What a wonderful time today. We, as usual, we have some people to just someone to come and share. And today we have a privilege just asking June to just quickly share, and then we'll take it from there. Come, can you welcome June? Use the mic. Come. Oh, yes. My wife got a special mic.
June. good afternoon. Okay. It's me again, lah. Huh? Today, I would like to share about what I learned the past weeks from the series of Exodus. Okay. We work together. When God appoints, He anoints. When God anoints, we will not be disappointed. Okay. Early this year, after 7 months of working in a company or a hospital, okay, I was told that they did not want to confirm my probation. Despite that, I wasn't worried, lah, actually. Okay? Yeah. I was not worried as my investment was earning money, okay? So, decided to take a rest from work and continue to pray and ask God for direction. However, about a month later, realized that my investment was being scammed, okay? So, huge portion of our saving is gone. Not only mine, but my friend's savings as well. It was to that point that I'm really at a loss, okay? So that is where I started to panic and really ask God what I needed to do next. I just couldn't stay still at home anymore, but because I do not have any income and no saving to sustain, so I decided to apply for a job position as a locum nurse, and I got a job almost immediately, right? Okay, I'm a nurse, by the way. Okay, so while waiting for a full-time position, I took up the job, and there I go. My first time trying 12-hour shift, okay? Straight 12-hour shift. It was not easy, but actually I enjoyed the time, the extra off days that following the long day of work, okay? So 2 days into locum nursing, I received a call from my agent, and she is arranging for an interview for me with this private hospital. So I tell you, God is amazing. I got the reply from my agent an hour after the interview. Okay? So while they were preparing my package, I went for another interview as an educator. So I really surrendered all to God and let Him lead. Currently, I'm working with this private hospital, and God has really prepared me for the 12-hour shift. During the waiting period, okay? And I really enjoyed this less work day, though longer hours, I can spend more time with my family. Besides that, I'm thankful for His provision. This company is paying me 3 months of sign-up bonus, which it covers part of what I have lost previously. Yeah. So God drew Moses out to send him to face Pharaoh to bring His people out of Egypt. If Moses still stays in Egypt, he will never know what God has planned for him, right? So likewise, if I still stay in the previous company, I will never enjoy what I enjoy now. Really, with more time, more pay, okay? Yeah. When God appoints, He anoints, okay? When God anoints, we will not be disappointed. Thank you. Amen.
I told her to come and share. I didn't expect her to share about the investment part. Not that she shouldn't. But that's authentic, isn't it? We don't just, oh, how are you doing, Ivy? Everything is okay. You know, so, do you know that when you talk to the children, and if the children just say okay, nothing else, you're in trouble, because they don't know what to say, and they find that by saying okay, that's the easiest way to stop you from talking to them. Sam, 对吗? If Jasmine asks you, how are you doing? Okay. How's your grandmother? Okay. Is your job? Okay. That's one way to try to stop people from talking. You just say okay and nothing else. Whereas for people like Wing, when I talk to him, it's never okay. Meaning it's not okay, but he talks a lot, man. But that's a good sign, right? Then he'll talk to me, and then he tells me about his girl studying in US. He wants to whatever. Then I say, no need lah. Just steady a bit. But I want to just encourage us when we start to articulate, and I didn't expect you to say, but I'm just so touched, and God has been faithful, isn't it? And the best part is the husband doesn't give a black face. The husband say it's okay. Not that it's okay, but we all learn as we go the way. Isn't that life in church, that we all come together and we deal issues? Royston's going to kill me, but today there's so many things that are happening, so many moving parts. I spoke to Sam and I spoke to Wai Kyong and I spoke to them either today, if not recently. We asked them, are you ready to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Not that they know everything about Christ, just like I'm sure Owen and Sharon, if I ask you to know everything about God, your answer is no, right? I tell them, don't look at it and say, oh no, I tell you what, you are now at primary 2. When you're about primary 65, then you decide whether you can accept Christ. And when you hit primary 75, then we talk about baptism. It doesn't work that way. It's just that where the Lord leads you at your point of faith, isn't it? When God meets you, and then you just say yes. So I had the absolute privilege of just sharing with Wai Kyong, and then I talked to him, and Ben said, you know, are you ready to accept Christ? He said, yes. And then I said, are you ready to be baptized? He says, yes. They say, how do you know about baptism? He says, I know. I've seen everything. They say, how you see? So the best part is, and so I tell you, when you're alive, you don't know who is watching you. Wai Kyong has been watching us, so he knows how the baptism is. Gone. So whatever I did, he saw, right? But that's God for you. As we come together, I'm just so encouraged. Silas, myself, and Gan and Joe, at the time to just come together, we ask ourselves, what can we do to make this place alive and real? I think the first answer to that question is when lives are changed, isn't it? When people like Sam and people like Wai Kyong, people like June, look at her. She lost quite a bit of money, but God has started repaying her. I want to ask whether that job also I can go and apply and straight away get the 3-month bonus. But I want to just encourage you. God's in the house. I don't want to wait until the end because I really find that this is very important. I'm going to invite Sam and just Wai Kyong to just come forward. People like Silas and my wife, would you just come? And a few others, Gan as well. Come. Can Sam and Wai Kyong, can we just welcome them? I want to pray for them. Yeah. They accepted Christ, and I don't want to make life difficult them. Can you just play the song Holy, and then Karen? Oh, that means you cannot. Never mind. You play. I want us to lead us to worship. Pray for them. Pray first, lah. Huh? Can we pray for them? They can face. No need to face them. Face us, lah. I promise her I won't make her talk. Like after that, I break my contract. I said no need to talk, right? You don't talk. But I stand here amazed. Wai Kyong, I tell you. I'm so touched. I feel like crying. It makes it all worth it. I was so tired that I told Silas I need a break. Can the church let me just stick for 8 hours? I need to hold myself somewhere. And then he's so sweet. Then he pulled me to one side. He said, can I meet you? Because he's scared I'm going to be suicidal. You know why he's scared? Because if something happened to me, he has to take over. No? That's why he's so scared. Isn't it, Wing? We say, wait, how are you doing, boss? Anything happen, but as we come, these are the things that motivate us. I want you to all stand, the rest of us. Can we just stretch our hands for these two of them who have just accepted Christ and ask God to really bless them? I want to ask Karen to pray for her and Wai Kyong, just Silas, pray. Can you stretch your hands where you are? And in your own way, just take a minute. God hears your prayers. I don't need to give you the mic for God to hear your prayer. Can we pray for your friend? Yep, pray for them and pray that God will just change their life and move them from understanding to understanding. Just pray for them. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you. Thank you, Father, thank you for our brother and our sister Sam. Lord, the church and the kingdom of God rejoices because we see lives change. We see people prepared to turn Godward. So Lord, bless them so that, Lord, their lives will change. Let's encourage us with their life, with their public testimony, Lord. baptize them. I just envisage the day to come so soon when Gunn and the rest of us just baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lord, I charge them to be holy so that, Lord, they will do the work of the kingdom. Father, we thank you. We bless you. Use them. Use them wisely. Use them judiciously. Use them and give them courage so that, Lord, you speak about your name in the days to come. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. And the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. Sing with me, and the angels cry. And the angels cry, sing holy, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. Thousand generations. A thousand generations of falling down in worship, sing the song of angels to the Lamb. And all have gone before us, and all who will believe will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all. And the angels cry, sing holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. If the angels cry, holy, all creation cry, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. And your angels high.
Can we raise our hands before the Lord? Father, thank you. Lord, you are making people that are going to be your servants. So, Father, as we bring Royston to just come, Lord, may your word bring forth healing, bring forth an embalming effect. And for those who are ill physically, in Jesus' name, receive Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. So, Father, we thank you and bless you. We pray and commit this service to you. Lord, we know that in all that we do, we can trust in you. Father, we thank you and bless you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's invite Royston to just come.
Good afternoon. Actually, just now as we were praying there, it already made my day. So later if I'm slurring, you know why. Okay, good afternoon. So this afternoon, I'm going to continue talking on the series of Exodus, and I'll be focusing primarily on what happened in chapter 18. But before we dive into the chapter, let's do a quick recap. By now, I'm sure you understand my pattern. My pattern is recap first. Very military, right? Anyway. So Elder Daniel opened this series on Exodus with the header, going after us hand in tow, okay, or theology of work. He cheekily told us. So our God, He goes after us. He pursues us. And He wants to lead us. And there is no one like Him. He always leads us up front. And He pulls us along. And He is towing us behind Him. Okay? Akin to a tow truck. And then He also introduces the concept of theology of work, which is the intersection between work and faith, meaning how Christian faith can contribute to our work in the marketplace. And in the context of this book of Exodus, the marketplace is in the desert. We all know they all went out to the desert, in the wilderness. And when you go out into the desert, into the wilderness, things happen. And in the desert, you cannot see what is ahead because everything looks the same. I'm not sure how many of you has been to the desert. I haven't been there, but seen a lot on video. And in the desert, it's because there's no visible terrain that you can take reference to. So all you could do is to trust in your compass, is to trust your azimuth. Azimuth means direction as well. Huh? So therefore, we need to trust where our God is leading us. For He is our compass. He is our azimuth. So the book of Exodus in Hebrew is known as the book of Shamot, which means names. So as the book of Exodus starts, we read the names of the 12 tribes, the people of God. The book is all about the people of God that were named, and God is interested in every single one of them. And Elder Daniel went on to share with us that in Hebrew culture, every name has significance. When they speak of a person's name, it is not just a title, but it shows their character or identity. Just look at the name of Moses. Okay, we know that a couple of weeks ago, Daniel shared with us that Moses, the name stands for drawn out. Okay, so Moses was named drawn out because he was drawn out by the princess of Egypt, you know, when he was a baby. And again, he was drawn out by God to lead his people out of Egypt. So whatever and whenever we need to do something, it is because God has called us to do it. And yet, He is also always looking out for us, physically, mentally, and spiritually. Our whole being is of His concern. So be assured that when you are drawn out physically to do something for God, you actually will discover yourself so much more at a different level. And I'm certain there are many seated here today can attest to that. When God calls them out, give them the experience, walk with them in the desert, they discover themselves, they become stronger, and they have the courage to move forward. So indeed, our God has a habit as well. He loves to work through His people. And yes, our God, He sees character before talent. We all know Aaron was more talented and can articulate better than Moses. So if Aaron did all the talking for Moses, then why did we need Moses? Why was Moses the chosen one to lead the Israelites? While these are all good questions, the Bible actually does not give us any clear answers. However, we can see several reasons as to why God chose Moses over everyone else. There's no doubt that God would choose a person who is educated and has the ability to lead. We learn in Acts 7:22 that Moses was indeed an educated man. Luke wrote in Acts, and Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in works and deeds. So while he may be slow in speech, we should know that in his conversation with Pharaoh, he was bold, he was mighty. We also see that Moses had great convictions. It is written by the Hebrews that by faith, Moses, when he grew up, he refused to be known as the son of the Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So good leaders must have the desire to do right, and this was a trait of Moses. In Exodus chapter 2, verses 11 to 12, we read that Moses went to the defense of a fellow Hebrew. I do not believe we should see, you know, the killing as murder, but as by the law of his day, Moses came to the aid of a brother, of a fellow Hebrew. He would do so, even knowing it would cost him dearly. So leaders, always do the right things right. And next, good leaders must have respect for God. According to Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, Moses had great respect for God. As with most great leaders, Moses was a meek man, you know, according to Numbers chapter 12, verse 3. So as we consider the life of Moses, we see that he was not perfect and even made many excuses trying to avoid serving God in the leadership role that God has called him to do. So what is God's solution? Is to send Aaron to him. So even though God gave Moses a helper, I believe strongly that Moses could have completed the job without Aaron as his spokesperson. We must believe he was chosen by God. In all truthfulness, Moses would eventually develop into a great speaker, we all know, as we go on into the Bible, as he led the children of God. We might also consider that Aaron himself did not have the ability to lead the nation on his own, for at times he was weak and he wavered, as we have read from Exodus chapter 32, verse 1 to 2. And you know what? Our God, he really can deal with our insecurities, our imperfection. God selected Moses to lead his people for a reason. For one, how many people do you know that can be known as a friend of God? So lastly, a great leader will listen to take counsel for wise men, as Moses did when he heeded Jethro's advice in Exodus chapter 13, 24. So with that, it brings us to today's sharing on chapter 18. So there's basically two parts to this chapter. So I call it Act 1, which is verses 1 to 12, where Jethro meets Moses. And then Act 2, where Jethro advises Moses, which is verses 13 to the end of the book. So the key learning for this chapter, I put up front first, is about Moses' willingness to take the advice from his father-in-law. So who is Moses' father-in-law? Well, he is Jethro, as you can see from the slide. You cannot miss him in this chapter because his name was mentioned 13 times. And Daniel always reminds us that when there is multiple repetition in the Bible, in the chapter, in the section, we need to pay close attention. So we might ask, why is the Bible telling us that Jethro is Moses' father-in-law repeatedly? So we were first introduced to Jethro in Exodus chapter 2, verses 15 to 22. You know, so that's the scene when Moses, after he killed the Egyptian, he ran away down south to this place called Midian to hide from the pursuit by Pharaoh. And that's where he met the daughters of Jethro, or also known as Reuel. And, you know, the story goes, eventually Moses worked for Jethro and also married one of his daughters, which is Zipporah. So Jethro, you know, he's not a Hebrew, he's a Midian. And who are the Midians, you may ask? So according to the book of Genesis, the Midianites were descendants from Midian, who was the son of Abraham's second wife, Keturah. So in a way, they are a tribe that is linked to God. Okay, so just remember that. Hold that thought. So we begin. Act 1, scene 1. Jethro hears, he takes, he comes, and he sends. So the chapter opens with Jethro learning about everything that God has done for the people of Israel. News, you know, sure went very fast those days, even though there's no internet or not even radio. But when Jethro heard what God has done to the Egyptian, it clearly did something to his heart. And then in verse 2, it shows that Moses sent his wife and kids away. Moses' wife and kids were first mentioned in chapter 2 of Exodus, and later in chapter 4 as well. And we read Moses going to Egypt. He actually brought his wife and kids. But somehow, we didn't read anything else about them until chapter 18. So, why did Moses send them away? Okay, was it because he felt that the plagues that was going to happen to Egypt was too intense for them to be around, too dangerous for them to be around? Or maybe because Moses wanted to focus at his task at hand. Therefore, he didn't want to be distracted and send them away. And I may even speculate because you send your loved one away, maybe he has created some tension in the family. So therefore, when we see verse 2, the fact that Jethro brought Moses' wife and kids back to him, it could be his attempt to bring some reconciliation to Moses' family. So no matter how God uses you for his ministry, you must never forsake your family for ministry. Apostle Paul laid down the requirements for those who aspire to positions of leadership in the church. He said that a candidate for the office of the overseer should rule his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. And Jethro understood that. So he was trying to tell Moses that no matter how great he might be, you know, as the leader of Israel, he still must be the father to his children and a husband to his wife. These responsibilities were more important than leading a nation. And second, the importance of unity in family, regardless if they are good in good or bad terms, the principle remains the same. Harmony is paramount. And marriage between a man and a woman is not just about being happy together. It's not just about romance. It is about glorifying God through our marriage. Always talking, communicating, always loving, always forgiving, always praying for the sake of God's glory. So family is key, and the need for partnership is paramount to be effective, because without harmony in the family, you'll be very tough for the husband or the wife to serve God. So Jethro was very wise. Notice what he said as he sent word to Moses prior to his arrival. He said, "Your wife and her two sons, not my daughter and her two sons." He gave much emphasis and importance about marriage, knowing that once a daughter is married, she belongs to the husband. So spouses need to honor each other above all. This is what God has instituted. The union between a man and a woman is sacred. That is why it is known as a holy matrimony. So the scene ended with Jethro announcing his arrival to Moses before reaching. This act shows a deep mutual respect between these two men. You know, so always treat others the way you wanted to be treated. And respect is always repaid with respect. Scene 2, Moses meets, he bows down, he kisses, he greets, and he tells. So in verse 7, we can see the character of Moses. You know, we all have read, right? Moses is the most humble of all men on earth. Even though he was regarded as the greatest, the leader of a nation, akin to a king, he still showed so much respect for his father-in-law. He could have behaved in a very different way, you know, given his position. For one, he could just wait where he is for his father-in-law to come, and then when he arrived, then he grant him audience. But no, Moses did not do that. As a matter of fact, he went out, he bowed down, and he kissed Jethro, and they greeted each other. I think the truth is, gratitude, you know, is an important attitude to cultivate in our lives, as it helps us to appreciate the people around us and the blessings we have received. And I'm very sure why Moses felt this way, because as we understood, when he was escaping, he's running away for his life, and who took him in? Who gave him a job and even gave him a wife? Jethro. And then in verse 8, we see the heart of Moses. You know, Moses gave all glory to the Lord while telling Jethro all about what has happened. You know, he gave his testimony to his father-in-law, who is actually a pagan priest, you know, from Midian. So although there was no evidence that showed that Jethro, having an intention to come and hear what God has done, what is clear at this juncture was Jethro came only to bring Moses' wife and children to him. There was no mention saying Jethro traveled to meet Moses to hear what has happened. We also do not see Jethro asking Moses to tell him what happened. What we saw is Moses was the one that was initiating the conversation, sharing what God has done for the nation of Israel. So Moses boldly testified what God has done, all the goodness to his father-in-law. He was unashamed, straightforward, and gave God all the glory. He did not say anything inappropriate. He made Christ attractive. So similarly, brothers and sisters, we must know who we are and who we are talking to. Those you spoke to may not even be saved. So never slander. We must always watch our tongue. We must always seek God to give us wisdom whenever we are speaking. So never make Christ's bride, which is the church, totally unattractive just because you are upset with something meagre. Don't vent to the Jethros in your life. Vent it to God. I'm not saying that our lives are not without trials and tribulation, but focus on how God has carried you through those situations. Focus on what God has done for you. So, delivery is so key. So, always converse and not preach. So, Moses knew when to say what he needed to say to his father-in-law. He did not just assume that since Jethro was a pagan priest, there was no need to talk or converse about such thing. Far from it. Moses took all the time and opportunity to share God's goodness. Scene 3, Act 1. So Jethro rejoices. He speaks. He brings and he fellowships. So now we are running through the tail end of Act 1. So Jethro rejoices hearing what God has done in and through Moses and the nation of Israel. He took joy in it. Jethro showed a lot of character for a man who is a pagan priest. But this is exactly how God wants us to respond. If we see Romans chapter 12, verse 15, God wants us to rejoice with those who rejoice and to mourn with those who mourn. Unfortunately, sometimes it is the non-believers who can see the goodness of God and rejoice. The truth is, it's easier to mourn and weep with those who are weeping. It is harder when God places someone who is rejoicing in front of you, especially when the person is not a loved one. How would you respond? Do you rejoice with those who rejoice? Do you celebrate those who God has used? Or does your heart have a different reflex? Anyway, for Jethro, he rejoiced. He gave praises to God, as you can read, which is said in verse 10. So indeed, it was such a beautiful moment. No? Jethro, after hearing what Moses said, what God has done, he proclaimed that our Lord is greater than all other gods. He hears and he knows. And then what happened? So a lot of people hear, a lot of people know, a lot of people heard about Christ Jesus and what he has done on a cross for all mankind. A lot of people have heard that, know that, and get that, but it doesn't stop there. We are saved by faith alone, but faith is never alone. Why? Because it produces something within you. It stirs something within you. But when you know and it stops there and not change you, it raises a concern. And I have a great privilege to see someone who knew and it changed him. Now, jumping forward to verse 12. It changed Jethro. Jethro actually went on to bring a burnt offering and other sacrifices to our God. This is how he responds. He worshiped and he offered up a specific kind of offering. He gave a burnt offering. So according to the book of Leviticus, when you give a burnt offering, it meant you are giving everything. So Jethro was giving everything to honor our God. This is the first response when one truly hears and knows about God. If you don't give every part, then you are, something is not right. You know, but when you give all that you have, be assured that God will surely give all that he has to you as well. That's not just it. The second part of verse 12 saw Aaron and all the elders of Israel came to have a meal with Moses' father-in-law in the presence of God. Fellowship and communion with the entire body of Christ. So Jethro hears, he knows, he put everything on the altar and then he communes with God's people and they broke bread. Don't forget, at that time, the people of Israel were eating manna, right? Manna from heaven. So, I may speculate, they were eating manna together. And so what is manna? Manna represents Christ. They were eating of Christ, delighting in Christ, sustained and nourished by Christ in community. We need to do that as well, brothers and sisters. We cannot separate these things. We need to be faithful in each of these things. Our walk with Christ and the walk with the community, where we eat of Christ together like what Jethro and the elders of Israel did. So with that, it brings us to the end of Act 1. And before we start Act 2, which is a subject close to my heart, I would like to highlight that all of us, we have blind spots, you know, physically and spiritually. But thankfully, in Christ, our blind spots are exposed, but then they are covered quickly by his blood. So in Christ, we are given a path towards walking in sight, letting our hidden sins be exposed so we can be made whole. For the Christians, the humble response is to acknowledge that we have blind spots. And with that in mind, let's jump straight into Act 2. So, Act 2, Scene 1, Part 1, we see Jethro observes and then he advises to pray and teach. So the following day, if you read chapter 18, Moses sat and served as judge for the people from morning till evening. So when Jethro saw what Moses was doing, he asked him, "Hey, why are you sitting alone while all these people are standing around you for the entire day?" So what was Moses actually doing? Well, he was presiding over the affairs of every single Israelite, all of them, in millions. So when Jethro, so what happened was Jethro saw something, you know, that Moses did not see. He saw something apparently a lot of other people never see, a lot of the Israelites never see. So we are seeing Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, his former tauke, coming and giving him advice. Here we see the power of generations coming together, akin to Moses and Joshua, coming together to be effective for the Lord. So we see the same thing happening here, you know, where Moses is the younger generation and Jethro is the older generation. The older generation speaking into the life of a younger generation. So it demonstrates that regardless of who you are and how old you are, you must be open to others speaking into your life, even if you are ordained by God to lead a nation for His glory. You still have blind spots. We need people to speak into our life. You see counsel here. Moses has counsel here, as written in Proverbs 15:22. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. So when there's no guidance, there's a tendency people may fall or fail. But in the abundance, in the presence of abundance of counselor, there is safety. All right? So Moses has this man, his father-in-law, Jethro, who spoke into his life, into his blind spot. Moses was doing something and he did not realize, but Jethro was able to see it. So Jethro intervened and said something. So how did Moses react? I said earlier, right? His reaction was he heed his advice and he act on it, which we will come to it later on. But verses 15 and 16, we saw Moses responding to his advice. At this juncture, it is important to highlight that while receiving counsel is important, but who we get counsel from is equally critical. And in the case of Moses, he was getting advice from his father-in-law. So besides having a relationship with this man, who was also his former boss, but more importantly, Jethro rejoiced and celebrated with Moses. That is a big difference. People you wish to receive advice from should be people who rejoice and celebrate with you about all things God. It is hard to receive advice from people who are envious of you, who are jealous of you, or speak against you. But find those who love you enough to tell you the truth, the hard truth, you know, because they want to see God's best in your life. And if you do not have such people in your life, pray and ask God to place them in your life because they will be very useful. However, be wise still because people have lots of ideas, but not all are necessarily good for all of us. So Moses received advice from who? Bible tells us for the seventh time, he received it from his father-in-law, somebody that he knew. However, the answer that Moses gave to Jethro is very telling as to how Moses saw his role as a leader of God's people. His response has so many eyes, so many me's that showed us that Moses had a problem. He mistakenly saw leadership of the people as all about himself and mistakenly saw his own role as too important to share with anyone else. And from verses 17 and 19, we then read that Jethro tells Moses what's the problem he saw and asked Moses to hear him out. Then he advised Moses to change his management style and propose to Moses a different proposition, a different governance structure by appointing judges at different levels, you know, in the thousands, in the hundreds, in the 50s. You know, so the smallest things will be distributed among these judges, and the heaviest matter will still be brought in front of Moses. So, if you are Moses, I'm sure at this juncture you may be thinking, wow, sounds like good advice. So in verse 20, Jethro give another secret sauce. Okay, he told Moses, you must pray and teach the masses. Okay, to pray for the entire congregation. It does not mean you delegate the responsibility away and need not pray for the congregation. And to teach is to teach the people with the principles, you know, because if the people know God's word, there may not be any dispute to start with, you know. So in so doing, can you imagine how many things can be resolved without having to bring together before the judge at all? Because the people who knows the word of God, they will be able to apply it in their own situation. Also, they will not be discouraged if the time taken to solve the issue may be prolonged. And by teaching, you are actually enlightening. And when the masses are enlightened, your load will be lightened. So Moses obviously listened. He heard Jethro out, and he is open to the instruction. So part two of scene one. So Jethro advises again, but this time to delegate. So no matter how capable, smart, brilliant one can be, all of us only got 24 hours. So although Moses was very capable, he couldn't do everything alone. It was just too much. But he needed to be able to recognize and select others who could lead with him. He needed to be able to discern men of good character, of good leadership skills. We know that Moses has already talent spotted Joshua as a good leader, but he needed to choose more men to delegate leadership to, and he needed wisdom in picking those men. So Jethro shared with Moses to look out for men with these four character traits, you know, as written in verse 21, which are capable, fear God, trustworthy, and hate dishonesty. These four traits are prerequisite for all levels of leaders or judges that Moses are to put in place. God is serious when it comes to the matter of his house. God is consistent and stringent about those he wants to put in place to serve him, to serve his people. Service of all sizes are sacred and important to him, I mean God. So God sees equal importance to whom he places behind the pulpit and those who are responsible to set up the church for his service. God is holy, therefore, he wants everything regarding his house and his ministry to be dealt with holy hands. Good leaders listen to good counsel, and good leaders delegate and share the responsibilities of leadership because they know that they are sheep's themselves and cannot possibly know it all or get it all right on their own. So we quickly dive a little bit deeper into what these four character of godly leader means. Okay, being capable is about having ability, and this ability, we can find them in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 13. It actually describes what are the qualifications that Apostle Paul described of overseers and deacons. You know, I just read a few of them for your reference, okay? He says that these leaders are above reproach, faithful to his wife, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, you know. Also, good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fail into disgrace and into the devil's trap. Keep hold of the deep truths of faith with a clear conscience. You know, so these are some of the qualities that leaders must possess in order to demonstrate that they have the ability to lead. Fear God. you know, which is the beginning of wisdom, we all know, right? And as children of God, we need to be holy in public, holy in private. You know, we have to be men of integrity in the dark. You know, always doing the right thing, even when no one is watching. And what is trustworthy? Trustworthy are men of truth. And this is a behavior that can only be observed over time. Especially important. Okay, this character is so important when we are selecting leaders. Because, you know, reputation, likewise, is what you observe over time. You know, you can lose all the riches, but you cannot lose, or you should not lose, your reputation. Because, like, for example, I'd rather be poor, but I can walk with my head held high, than rich, but always hiding around. You know. Last but not least, hate this dishonesty. You know, these are, you know, we are talking about leaders who hate a bribe. They are not materialistic, will not alter truth for a reward. These are people who love to honor God more than the comforts of their living. And you can see that a lot of them, you can pick these characters or characteristics from Proverbs. So clearly, Proverbs is a good book in the Bible to dive into if you desire God's wisdom. The writers of this book recognize the varied circumstances of a person's life and provide principles to apply in all these situations. It offers advice, reinforces morals, imparts knowledge, and aid in understanding. Act 2, Scene 2. So here we see Jethro reminds and then he foretells the result. Here, there is only one verse. You know, so as a leader, especially as a leader serving God's people, we need to exercise discernment and wisdom through God. Remember, Jethro is not of Israel. He is an outsider. So even though he gave Moses advice, he was wise to remind Moses in verse 23, not to just take his advice because it sounded smart and it looked sound, but instead, Moses should take it to God and see if this is what God wants for Israel. Because God can use an outsider to speak to us, but always bring it back and confirm with God that indeed it is from Him. However, as a leader, it is irresponsible to point a finger and say it was someone else who told you to carry out certain action or to say certain things, especially when the outcome was not as expected. We must have the moral courage to own up to our mistake if we indeed have made a wrong decision. Because ultimately, it is one's free will, one's free choice to decide what to do in any situation. Just as how God has given man free will to decide which is the path that we want to take. And having delegated the duties and distributing the loading, meant that the leaders now have more bandwidth, more capacity to focus on the more important tasks and not about zobo. As a matter of fact, having more bandwidth also meant that the leader now can elevate himself or herself to see the big picture and not become myopic on the minute stuff, although there is a time and place for scrutinizing the details. Because no one wakes up in the morning and says, today, I want to be a leader. Leadership is earned, built, and cultivated in small steps with small things done successfully every day. And lastly, with more judges established, the people of Israel now will be more well-served. Dispute can be solved and settled quickly. And they did not need to wait for months and weeks to be served, which was what was happening when Moses was proceeding over every single matter of every size. Because justice delay is justice denied when things cannot be resolved swiftly. And before we go to the final scene, I'd like to share a jingyan. Just now I asked Wai Kiong this jingyan. 大官想小事，小官想大事，小官想大事做小事，大官想小事做大事。 OK, ponder about these verses. So these verses was given to us by one of our ex-boss. You really need to take a moment to think through what these verses are saying. As a matter of fact, we were discussing earlier what it actually meant, whether to read it the reverse. But this is the correct version because I checked with my current boss. Okay, so ponder about these verses. Okay, last scene. So Moses follow and Jethro then departs. Okay, coming down to the landing. In the final scene, we see Moses implementing the advice provided by Jethro. He took action. He established a systematic method of administration where some had higher position than others, but yet God honored the faithful service of the rulers of 10 as much as the service of the rulers of thousands. But the more complex and difficult issue, as mentioned, was still brought to Moses, because as a leader, while you can delegate the duties, you cannot delegate the responsibility. We as leaders must still be accountable for all things at all times. Moses was still accountable to God to ensure he leads the people of Israel based on his will, on God's will. Truth is, God has many ways of making known his will to his servant. In this instance, God taught Moses by sending someone from the outside, and Moses listened. Moses followed Jethro's counsel wisely, and surely this has extended his ministry and made him more effective as a leader of the nation of Israel. But do you remember what was the original intent and purpose of Jethro's trip to find Moses? Jethro came to bring reconciliation, to unite Moses and his family. Isn't it such a blessing to know that there will be people in our lives who will come and give us something so we know? God places people in our life to push us a little further towards godliness, a little further towards greater wisdom, push us a little further into the right place so that we can be effective for the kingdom of God. We need to pay attention to this type of people. We need to be open to them, even if they are your in-laws. And, you know, no matter where God takes you, the secret to effective ministry is humility. So no matter where you go in life, no matter how much God uses you, remain open to correction. Remain open to instruction. Search for it, long for it from the right people, and in doing so, you will see where God will take you. Do you know that there is only one leader who is fully capable of leading on his own and who needs no advice from anyone? And that's our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Yet when it came to his darkest hour, even he had the humility to submit to the advice of his father, where he declared, "Not my will, but your will be done," and went to the cross to save all of us. So I pray that we will be responsible leaders led by God, who are capable, God-fearing, trustworthy, and honest, so that we can be effective for him wherever and whenever he places us in a marketplace. Sounds like a heavy load, right? But fret not. Okay? Because our God, Yahweh, the great I Am, is our leader. Thank you.
Turn 1, 2. Oh, that's a nice... I should pick you up on this 大官, the 小事 thing. I also was reading, I was stunned. Can I have a look at it? What's that all about? What's it mean? Mr. Lee? Wai Kiong, what's it mean? Wai Sen, what's it mean? 大官想小事, 小官想大事，做小事。 So the big boss who thinks about small things, he ends up doing big things. Eh? Yeah. Right. So I'm just paraphrasing like a parrot. Royston says, I'm instructed that Royston says, you may be doing something big, but you don't forget, and you don't forget the little details, right? Okay. When we started this church, there are a lot of details. I'm lousy with details, Owen. In fact, sometimes I wish I didn't have to do details. In the law firm, when I run a law firm, I do a picture, right? But when I'm doing a case, I have to deep dive into details. I have no choice. A dentist cannot not look at the details. One, you don't look at the details, you got a problem. The teeth may just go rotten. And sometimes we don't know the information that we're supposed to know, we also have a problem. Today, I just want to tell you a quick one. I heard you talk to Shireen about Invisalign, isn't it? Were you talking about Invisalign just now? Something, right? Invisalign. Sorry, you see, I eavesdrop. My son was told to wear Invisalign. So it cost me $3,000, apparently. And this is this thing whereby you wear and then it's supposed to straighten your teeth. So about 2 years ago, I went to pick him up. Then he told me, I dropped my Invisalign. I said, what? You dropped Invisalign? So where is it? He says, it's in the school somewhere. Sir, do you know where? He says, ask my friend Shah. Say, where's Shah? They're all inside. And in that school, ACS, you're supposed to get the permission of the security guard. They can go in and say, I have to go in there. He said, why? Sir, you need to go in there? Oh, because I need to go and pick up something. Because in my mind, the Invisalign was $3,000 worth. And I was going to pick it up. So I went there and then I went to this place and then I was in this tuck shop in ACS and then it's just right in front of the tuck shop. And I said to my son, where do you drop it? Oh, I drop it into this place. You know where this place is? It was this place. It's a grated kind of a metal structure and it was dropped into this hole. And when I look at it, it was all dark and black. So I say, it's $3,000. I will do it. So I put my hand. DG, don't laugh at me. Later, I'll have a case against you. So, Jordan, I put my hand into this thing. When you go in there, Cindy, when you go in there, it's dark and mysterious. And it is very, very slimy. I was looking for the Invisalign. So I went in there and I just dig. And the best part is when I put in there, I cannot feel the bottom. So when I can't feel the bottom, you know what I do? I press my chest against the ground. And then I make sure I go to the bottom. I did that. And I still cannot reach. By the time a crowd had gathered, all these ACS were looking at me, and the security guard who accompanied me was just doing nothing but looking at me. They said, what am I doing? And then I was just putting in, and then I dig, I cannot find. Then someone asked me when I told the story, even if the person can find and dig it out, you mean you're going to use it again? I say, because it is worth $3,000, I will make sure that the dentist or whoever will wash it clean and make it wearable again. And then only after that, why can't I realize the Invisalign is to be worn for about 52 weeks. So that one that he dropped, is only to be worn for that week. So that piece of crap is not worth $3,000. Do you understand what I'm saying? It is 1 out of 52 weeks. So if he drop it, it's okay lah. Then you just don't wear for the next couple of days. But then there's the next week to wear. But I didn't know that. Like, I thought it was worth $3,000. So when I went in there with full conviction and looked like an idiot, I was having in mind that it's worth $3,000. So I went in there to dig slime and everything. Please. I don't know what I was picking up. I thought I picked up something. I thought maybe it's the one, but I did. It was not there. Dig again. When I took it out, it was some insect. Then dig and dig. I couldn't find it. Then after a while, I gave up. Then when I went home, then I realized that it's actually not worth $3,000. Why am I telling this story? I still don't know. But sometimes if we miss out details, we got a problem. I didn't know. It's okay. It's not worth $3,000. It's only worth don't know what. But maybe as we go around our lives, sometimes we are funny. Learn to laugh at ourselves. It's very funny. This YouTube artist, people are giggling. Wherever you're listening to, yeah, I look like an idiot. I am probably an idiot.
But when we miss out details, we don't know what we're doing. But not so for God, isn't it? We don't miss out details. We know what we're doing. We know that everything matters for God. Every little detail. And sometimes when we can't do everything, God will send people. The delegation part is so important, isn't it? That Moses was doing everything by himself. He was actually going to burn out. Just like I tell Silas, I think I better take a break. Otherwise, I feel I may burn out. I take a break. I learn to delegate. And along the way, tell you what, God will also send people. We're just talking about how TG, your wife, Jo, is such a blessing. Coming in and sweeping everything I don't want to do. And in fact, some of the things at my firm, I told her on the side, can you please help me? She helps to do my LinkedIn. She does my Facebook. Do I look like a LinkedIn person? I got no time even to breathe on LinkedIn. So I tell her, can you just pretend to be me? No, I just said, you just reply for me. You do this, do that. I don't have time for details. But I tell you what, on the flip side, God is interested in every detail. He's for us. He's watching over us. When you're going to accept Christ, when someone approaches you, when you need to do something, everything is in His hands. Can I just encourage us, when we look at Moses, don't look at someone who knows everything. In fact, he knows very little. God has to send Jethro to tell him, don't burn out. Why don't you learn to delegate? But don't sweat over the small things, but the big things, the things that God wants you to do, you must do. Correct? And that's what I think. Sometimes as we work in the marketplace, sometimes we don't know. Sometimes some things you just have to do. I always tell my people, Sam, some of the lawyers I have, I say, if you don't mind, this thing, it has to come from me to that client. You and I could say the same thing, but it must come from me. Because when it comes from me, people say, oh, Daniel said it. Whereas if you said it, you look younger than my son, you say it means nothing to me. But he won't say it, but in the mind, say, that thing, let it come from me. Just like I'm sure sometimes when Wing needs to do something, that thing must come from Wing, not the car. Wing must say, this one, do it this way, and then the F1 will be fine. But God is interested in the little details of life. I was just telling Silas, and with that, I want to ask Karen and Esther to come forward. Can just start coming up now. God is interested in our lives. Every single detail. I've just been noticing whenever I ask for work, I don't know when my next piece of work is going to come that way. I mean, I'm a lawyer. Someone's just okay. I work in a bank. It's okay. The work will come in. I have to go and look for work. Not that I go around, whatever I told you, right? But it is interesting. When I took a break, I was just telling Silas, even God is so interested in my details. I said, I'll take a break from Thursday morning, afternoon. I just want to take a break until Saturday. 48 hours, I detox. I had to stop myself reading emails. Do you know how difficult that is for me? I stopped myself reading emails. Do you know why I read emails? Because maybe I don't read, right? If I just don't read for 2 days, do you know how many emails I have to read one shot? So when I go for holiday, I read emails. They're all sleeping and reading emails. If London, 6 a.m., I wake up. You're all sore, right? Bad. I must learn to delegate. But God was so kind. I still have to take calls, right? On Thursday, one person came to look for me for some case. He called me at 12. My check-in was, typical way check-in is about whatever time, right? I settled that call, and there were no more calls. But God said, this call you take. Because after that, I can rest really. And I rested nicely for 2 days. Gunn and Silas came, we had a good dinner, and had some time with my family, also for myself to be alone. I want to encourage you. God is a welfare God. He knows when we need to take a break. He knows. He also tells you, this one you must do yourself. That way, this one must do. This one, not the mother do. This one, you do. You understand? Maybe I'm talking to you now. Something you do, not mother do. But something, Phyllis, don't laugh. Mother do. Father, don't do. May God give us the wisdom. It helps if we know there is a holy God. He's watching us. Can I just say something about what Silas talked about last week? You know, 10 commandments and then reduced to 2, right? Love your neighbor and love yourself. No, love God and then love your neighbor. Can I just ask you honestly, how many people really love God here? Do you sometimes not love God? Brian, sometimes do you love God? Or sometimes don't love God? Is it you love God all the time? Do you love your neighbor? Honestly? You love your neighbor? I don't know. I live in this estate, some neighbor, I really don't love them. You love your neighbor? You don't even know who your neighbor is? But that's why it's a commandment, right? It's like a duty, right? But how about, and I like what C.S. Lewis said in the Commandments, how about we do this? The two commandments translated this way: behave as if you love God and man. For no man can love because he's told to. Behave as if you love God. I mean, sometimes you love God, sometimes you don't, right? Sometimes you're just so tired, right? I mean, do you love your neighbor? I mean, I don't even have time for yourself to love my neighbor. But how about we read the commandments and we behave as if we do? Then we just do it. Until we move to that side of heaven, a lot of things are commandments. It's a duty. Because it's an imperfect world, we are cluttered, we are disturbed, we've got so many things on our mind. That's just a commandment. Just do it. Nike. Just love God. Just love man. Don't think so much. Wing, love your neighbor. Because you think you may not love, right? Just do it. Behave as if you love God. Behave as if you love man. Then there's hope for all of us. Hey, today, really, I think when Wai Kyung came out, Royston, so touched, isn't it? Because he keeps investing into Wai Kyung's life. Not that he counts, not that he invests $5. No, it's just spending time. And I'm sure Phyllis, the same for Sam or whoever, just spend time with you guys. But when you come to Christ, I tell you, it's all worth it. Isn't it? Can we all stand? The angels cry. And the angels cry. Lift him up. Sing to him and the angels cry holy. Sing to the Lord. And you're lifted high, holy, holy forever, a thousand generations falling down in worship, sing a song of ages to the Lamb. And all who've gone before us, and all who will believe, will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and possessions, your name stands above them all. And the angels cry, holy, and the angels cry, holy, you are lifted high. Lifted high. your name is lifted. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands. Sing one more time, your name is the highest, lift his name, your name, your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all thrones, all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all, and the angels cry, say holy, all creations cry, sing holy, you are lifted high, holy, say holy forever, say holy forever, and the angels cry, sing holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever, you are lifted high. Lift up his name and you're lifted high. You are lifted high.
Holy,
as we bring this service to an end, will you lift your hands before the Lord? As you lift your hands, something happens, you know. I encourage you to lift your hands. With no one looking around, we lift your hands before the Lord, because in our lives, we lift our hands to do work. We lift our hands to carry our child. We lift our hands to bring files. But something happens when you lift your hands before a living God. And as you do that, as you bring your service to an end, can you lift your hands and all the burdens, all the things that plague you, will you lift it before the Lord and bring it to the cross? A holy God is going to help you. Bring it before Him. Spend some time with Him. And now ask God to help you. Begin to praise Him. Lord, break through.
Praises to your name, O Lord,
for your name is great,
for your name is great, and greatly to be praised. I sing glory to your name, O Lord, glory to your name, oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be.
I sing praises to your name, oh Lord. I sing praises,
and I sing praises to your name. Praises to your name, for your name is great and greatly to be. I bring glory to your name, glory to your your name, glory to you, glory to your name, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing glory to your name and we bring the service to an end. I bring glory to your name. Oh Lord, glory to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I bring glory to you. I bring glory to your name. Glory to your glory to your name. For your name is great and greatly to be. For your name is great. For your name is great and greatly to be. Father, thank you. As we bring this service to an end, the hands are lifted up to a God and to a name that is deserving of our life. So in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I bless you, my brother and sister, to know that you are in the epicenter of His will. His will for you in your career, His will for you in your life, He's always watching you. So the Lord that watched over Moses, the Lord that was with him, is the same God today and tomorrow. So Lord, bless my brother and sister. Let them walk in faith, in confidence that you are with them. So the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord shine, the Lord's face shine upon you, so that everything you do has an added significance to the kingdom. Father, we thank you. Bless my brother. Protect them and therefore the children, those who are coming back from England, those who are growing up. Lord, give them a job. Give them a career. Watch over them in US so that, Lord, they'll not be alone. Watch over our kids who are going to the secondary school. Bless them. We pray all this through the Father and the Son and Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. God bless you. We'll see you next week.